car blind, you know, without paying attention, but I can't operate a computer. Anyway, okay. This is Flash, and this is Dropping a Coil with Larry Woods and Rob Wirtz. And I had a little delay tonight. Sorry about being late, guys. But here we are. Let me say hey to the bots and bodies, and then I'll get off the mic for you. And we have a special thanks to Grim for his patience with me. Okay, we're live. He says everything's good. Refresh. Uh-oh. What do I refresh?
He's not telling you refresh. He's telling everybody else.
Okay. Good. And for the bots and bodies, for your writing entertainment tonight, we've got Barman, Beetle, Cowboy Tech, Grimner, Moose Girl, Kate, Anti-Asmo, Chalcedony, Circolo, hello, Duh, Me, Frumpy, Frumpy Work, Gramsy is probably not going to respond, but she might be listening, you never know, Java Doctor 2, Meister Brow, Rob Works, hey Rob, Rome's, Vanna White, Weather Dork, and let's get Larry in the chat this time, too. We forget to tell him about that in the RLM chat, Larry.
I haven't gone there yet.
I'll yeah, well, it might be a nuisance, but it's a 6-second delay on this server, so it's not so bad.
Drop a link for me.
I think Rob can do that. Rob, help me out while I'm doing all this other stuff. Don't have me clicking stuff now. Okay, we got Vanna White, Weather Dork, The Phantom, CC66, Chaskura, Cyborg Noodle, E-Man, N-Civ, Grommet, J's9's, J's, Kiss underscore, Ponsas, Smartass, The Holiest Roger, and Z-Pix. Okay, you guys, Larry and Rob, have fun.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Rob. Good to be back. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I just dropped a link in there, so you should be able to get in the chat there. Grim heard my boss. It was everything I could do to keep from hacking. So how have you been the last couple of weeks?
Been doing good. Weather's changing, flowers are blooming,
yep.
Birds are singing, I'm loving it.
There you go. Well, I know you were feeling bad last week, I guess, just because of the weather change. So I guess you're better now.
Yeah, I'm much better now.
Excellent. So as I was telling you before the show, I got my donut about 3/4 printed. And got some wire ordered. And anxious to start wrapping a coil.
That's excellent. We can go into how to figure up how much wire your coil can handle.
Okay.
That requires either a micrometer or the specs on the wire, the outside diameter of whatever you're using, and you have to figure the circumference of the inside diameter of your hole. And just figure that up, and you cannot have more wire in the center enough that it'll cross over itself. When you meet
right.
the full capacity of the center, that's all you can put in there.
Okay, and that's one layer.
Yeah, it's only one layer thick.
There's only one layer of wire anywhere all around it.
That's right. If you put more than one layer of wire on it, it heats up.
Yeah, because you're creating the eddy currents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere I saw the specs on this wire, and now I've lost it. This, or maybe it was the other one. Hookup wire is what it's called.
As you're wiring your coil, you want all your wires flat and right next to one another. Don't let them cross and don't let them get on top of one another in any way. You can have tiny little gaps between them if you have to, the closer and straighter it looks, the better. Like if you hold your hand out flat, your fingers don't cross anywhere. And right. That's the way your wire should be. And remember, you're gonna wire 1 and 2 and leave 3 empty, wire 4 and 5 and leave 6 empty, and going around and leave 9 empty. And your 3, 6, and 9 on the outside, as that gives your magnetic field a place to expand to its full capabilities. Right. And then as it gets closer to the center, where you've got that entire center filled with wire, that 3, 6, and 9 point is going to be a choke point and increase the magnetic field going into the vortex. So you've got expansion and contraction on the outside.
So it's like a water nozzle. It forces it into a... Okay. I got the wire diameter. It's 0.0253.
Okay. So you take that and divide the circumference by that, and that'll tell you how many wires you can get in there.
Okay. The overall diameter is 0.058. That's with the insulation. The actual wire is 0.253.
Yeah. So you want to use the 0.058.
Okay. So basically 2 inches divided by 0.058. So
2 inches is the diameter. You want the circumference.
Oh, the circumference. No. Okay. I don't have the math handy in my head for that. Circumference of a 2-inch circle.
Pi r squared. Radius is 1 times pi. So it's 3.14.
Okay, so 3.14 times, maybe if I got on the calculator, times the radius, which is 2.
No, times the diameter of the wire, or divided by the diameter of the wire.
No, I'm just figuring the circumference, circumference.
Yeah.
What you say is pi times
r squared
times r, so and then that's times itself.
Yeah, times pi times r times 6.28.
39.4, so 39 wraps.
Yep.
Is what I'm
looking
at.
Divide that by 9.
It's 4.3.
Okay, so you can get 4 circuits.
Okay.
That's not how ours worked out at all.
Huh. I'm just doing the math as you give it to me.
Yeah. My math isn't good. Evan's the math guy here.
Okay. But
just figure out how many wires at that diameter can go into the circumference, and that'll tell you how to fill it up. Now, there's also, as the wire goes around the coil, it creates a triple Mobius.
Uh-huh.
And that is also a compression inside the coil. Inside the ring of that coil.
Inside the donut.
Yeah, inside the donut.
So, okay.
And there's only air in there, so there's nothing to restrict it. There's no metal there to saturate and confine it. So,
right. Yeah, mine's actually completely hollow.
Yeah, good. That allows for a stronger, even stronger magnetic field in the vortex, in the hole of the donut.
Yeah.
And that's
just
why I say...
Due to the way my friend designed it, he created 2 rings for the donut. So I've actually got a wall. I got about an 1/8-inch thick wall of the donut outer part, and the entire center is hollow.
Excellent.
So, as long as it comes together at the top that's printing right now, we'll see how that turns out.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have any support on the inside of it. So, we'll see how that works out, and I will let you know.
Those guys that can write a printing program usually do really well with that.
Yeah, well, it's more to do with the way the drawing was designed. The printing program, it'll fill in the gaps between your walls, which it's doing, and it'll create supports on the outside as it builds up, which it did. But once you get past the halfway mark and it's coming in instead of out, there's no way for it to build those supports because that would go through the donut.
Oh, okay.
So there's no support on the inside. So, but it seems to be doing pretty good. It's already on the inward track and it's laying them down for, and it looks like they're it's working. So we'll see how it actually comes out at the very top though. Anyways, you said something earlier about going through setting up a testing facility or something along those
lines. Yeah. Let me explain a little bit more about the power company and what you end up getting at your house. Most of the guys out there are like me and do it in their house and don't have a shed. If you've got a shed, that's even better. When the power company produces power, voltage and amperage start at the same time. That's clean power that has no odd harmonics in it that are going in opposition of power flow. That's what costs you money. The first guy in line puts some form of bad stuff in the line, the odd harmonics, that's developed by the electronic equipment that he has in his house and the switching load. That creates a bad power factor, not starting at voltage and amperage starting at the same time, that goes to the next guy, and he puts his stuff into it, and it goes to the next guy. So everybody down the line has a combination of all the bad stuff between them and the power company or the substation.
Yeah.
That means the first guy doesn't get charged very much for his power. The last guy pays a bundle. So what I'm getting at,
I don't know what happened, but it's like you backed away from your mic or something.
Oh, okay. What I'm getting at is all of
still
this
not bad.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
I hear you, but it's like you went out.
I'm not hearing any changes. Levels.
There's
I'm hearing it mumbles? Fine. No, I hear you fine, Larry.
Oh, okay.
Just interjecting because Rob's saying he can't.
How about that? Okay. That's better. I think it was on my end.
Yeah, it must have been. Bye, guys.
Sorry about that.
Nah, no problem. Continue.
So all the odd harmonics that go into your line come through it on the negative wire, on the neutral wire, on the ground wire.
Right.
That's
the transmits, return.
Yeah, that's the return that gathers up all the bad stuff from all your neighbors all the way back to the power company. So if you're testing a device, you're not providing that device with harmonic free energy. You're providing that device with all the harmonics from all your neighbors, so you can't tune your device. You can't tune the components on your device without a whole lot of extra trouble. So
yeah,
in your test facility, they make an isolated ground receptacle. That means that ground wire to that receptacle does not go back to your main power system. That
right.
goes to an alternative ground system, which could be a huge chunk of metal that had a great deal of mass that you use
uh-huh.
as a frame ground, a second reference ground.
Okay.
Which is what I would suggest. You could run that to a ground rod outside,
uh-huh.
which would give you two different potentials and allow that system to bleed off anywhere it had to. But that you can't tune harmonically the equipment in your circuit without having clean power come to it. And that's either a power supply that does not have the ground and the neutral hooked together. There's normally a little tab that you can put between the two of them on a power supply. Take that off.
Okay.
But that's the only two ways you can get clean power for your devices. And
well, that's if you're using a power supply. What if you're using a battery?
If you're using a battery, that's clean power.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or
but
a solar cell.
Recharge it.
Because, I mean, 3 volts. I mean, you can get 3 volts from a solar cell.
Yeah, you can use a solar cell for that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's
okay,
clean.
Just
yeah,
clarify.
It's just the electronics from your neighbor on the grid system.
Yeah, like if you're using a power supply, like out of a computer.
Yeah. Yeah,
or an actual testing type power supply, a lab.
Yeah. Yeah, 12 volt power supply or a 30 volt power supply, whatever you've got.
Right.
And remember now that there's going to be a different potential between the ground wire in your panel and the ground that you're providing for your equipment and your testing.
From a straight ground rod.
Yeah, from a straight ground rod. So don't get between those two. That will bite you.
Well, that's a good rule of thumb. Anytime you're dealing with electricity, never touch. Matter of fact, most electricians will tell you, keep one hand behind your back.
Yep. Don't let
only
it go.
Use one hand. Don't
body.
Ever let your other hand wander around.
Yep.
I got yelled at for that, actually.
Yep. If you do it through your hand, it goes from finger to finger. If you do it between one hand and the other, it goes through your heart and kills you.
Exactly.
So, safety first.
Yeah. So, yeah, never touch more than one thing at a time when working on electrical things.
And once you get these coils operating, do not lean over the hole. Don't point that hole at anything you love that's live.
Right.
There'll be a high magnetic beam coming out of that and forming a tornado going up and down.
Right.
Or side to side, whichever way you're mounting your coil.
Now, on the 8-inch coil, how powerful is that one? I mean, as far as the that magnetic beam part of it.
The 8-inch coil has a... In the standard 8-inch toroid that's just wrapped round and round on an iron core, that develops about 4,000 milligauss of magnetic energy in a vortex.
Okay, good. Baseline.
The 8-inch coil that you will be building will develop 18,000 milligauss.
Wow.
So it more than squares the number of what I call them magnets, the magnetic field.
The strength of the magnetic field.
Yeah.
The magnetic river.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about that.
I see magnetism, and I know this isn't right. They are not particles. But I envision them as being particles that are rectangular and twisted. And the North Pole goes out and twists in one direction. South Pole goes out and twists in the opposite direction.
Interesting.
And as they go through the 9-point, as they go through the center of the toroid, and everything is a toroidal shape, as they go through the center, they straighten out, and that spin is turned the other way.
Oh. Interesting.
That's just the way I envision magnetism.
That's perfect. That's the way I think about things too.
Yeah.
I like to envision things like that.
And I'm the one that smokes pot, Rob. Really?
What? What? You got pot?
No.
You bring it up for everybody?
No, it's just what you guys are talking about. It's a little bit over my head.
But you each understand it. So
it's
well,
over my head too, but
you're figuring it out as you go. I can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to check
in. And little
in.
Things like the description he just gave me helps me to envision it. It's not the actual physical part of it, but it's an envisioning of how things work.
Because mad scientists think alike.
And okay. Okay, so bottom line is if you're going to do any testing on and you want to have any kind of accuracy, you need to have an isolated ground, which consists of a ground rod or a large iron object that will...
Iron, copper, aluminum, any big mass of conductor.
Conductor, okay. So you... what about like a car? Does that count, or is because it's not actually it's insulated from the ground?
Yeah, that would. Yeah, you could hook it to your car, I suppose. I never thought of that. I wouldn't really want a good direct short spark going to my car.
I was just thinking more along the size wise. I mean, how big of a piece of, you know, would an anvil work?
Oh, yeah, an anvil would be perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get an idea of what would, you know, you say a large conductive object, metal, iron, copper, whatever. So just trying to get an idea of what large meant in that respect, in that context.
Yeah. You're going to be carrying 30 amps. So whatever you put it through needs to be able to at least handle twice that much in a short.
Oh, okay. So some double-aught wire would work.
Yeah. Yeah, you could use a great huge chunk of wire on the wall and just hook all your ground rods to it, or all your ground wires to it.
Okay.
And of course,
And that just flattens out all the interference that's coming in from the, and so you eliminate the neutral coming from power company altogether.
You eliminate the ground.
The ground.
Yeah.
But not the neutral.
But not the neutral. It's got to have the neutral to give you power.
Right, right.
Yeah, the neutral just carries the load back to the panel.
Did somebody call me?
I missed something. Okay.
Okay, so it's just the ground. And I'm trying to understand. So you tie the neutral and your isolated ground together?
No. Okay. You've got a black wire and a white wire and a bare copper wire coming from the panel going to that plug.
Uh-huh.
You do not connect that bare ground wire.
Okay, so you're just the bare ground wire goes to your isolated ground.
That bare ground wire, you do not use it at all. You run another ground wire from the ground connection on that plug to your big chunk of metal. A different ground wire that does not come from your mains power supply.
Okay. So on the plug, you mean the receptacle that you're plugging your devices into?
Yeah, and in this country, they're orange.
They're orange.
Yeah. That tells you there's an isolated ground plug in for electronic equipment.
Oh, okay. It's a special plug you want to go buy from the hardware store.
Yeah, it does not have an internal ground to it. The neutral and the ground wire are not connected in any way anywhere.
Okay. And so you're basically, so you're cutting off the ground coming from the power company altogether, and you're putting your isolated ground in there.
Right.
And as a replacement. I get the concept, yeah.
Yeah, you're just
I'm thinking about wiring stuff up directly, and you're describing the receptacles.
Well, yeah.
I wasn't going that deep. So, okay. That makes sense now.
Yeah, and that'll give you a mains power supply for your equipment, but not
without all the interference.
Yeah, without all the harmonics. You'll be getting better power.
Right.
And then, of course, if you use a battery, that's going to be clean and all the
right.
other stuff.
Well, I figured just for a 3-volt supply, I would also be curious, maybe you've done this, have you ever run it off a 3-volt battery and run something and seen how long it would last on like 2 AA's or something?
A volt and a half battery, and it ran for a year and a half. And then I just took the
under load
it down. It weighed at a 12-volt light bulb on it.
12-volt light bulb, like a car.
Yeah.
Turn signal bulb or something.
Yeah.
Okay. And it ran for a year and a half on a single AA battery.
Yeah. Well, no, it was a size. It was a D cell.
D cell.
Yeah. But it's still
a year and a half on one D cell running a car.
Light bulb,
yeah, a tail light bulb,
yeah,
and those are pretty bright. I mean, that's a light.
Yeah, that's a light, and
that was constant. So if you're turning it on and off, you're going to get more.
In
a year and a half, right?
Yeah,
I'm assuming it was constant.
Yeah, because it's a direct resistance light bulb. If it was fluorescent, then it would take more power turning it on and off. Depends on how many times you did it.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah, because it has to power up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that right there alone is pretty, I mean, I know it doesn't sound like much, but when you think about it, a year and a half of running a 12-volt light bulb,
well,
that's
the most basic thing that this can do, the very most basic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just the very most basic thing is pretty amazing. I mean, you could use that as a battery charger, a top-off charger.
Oh, yeah.
Or a maintenance charger. And just with a D-cell battery.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll keep your car charged up for a year or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And the 12-circuit coil, I'm getting more and more impressed with that. The 6-circuit is proof of concept.
Right.
The 12-circuit and up is what it can do. The 12-circuit produces panel power at... Now, this is wire, just wire around an empty hollow donut that's made out of plastic with a Hallback array in the vortex, stationary, not moving.
Right.
Out of that, if there were any power, it would be DC power. It would be direct current power.
Right.
With the Hallback array in it, we're getting 12 volts AC, and the ground is a human thumb.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that.
Okay, when we hook it up with a 12-circuit panel, and this we hooked it up to get the highest magnetic field, which is series.
Okay.
We hooked every other circuit up in series, and every other circuit up in series, both that gave you two ends.
Okay.
I hooked a meter to that. I hooked the hot wire, the red clamp of the meter, onto the wire. And on the black clamp of the meter, the black contact, you put your thumb, and the meter shows 12 volts AC. That's due to the resonance between the magnetic field of the Hallback array and the circuit geometry of the coil.
Okay.
Another major point.
Okay, so let me back. Well, hold on before you move.
Okay.
So you got this. Okay, it's 12 circuit coil. Okay, so you wired six circuits each together to come up with two leads. You grab one lead or you hook one lead to your red positive lead on your volt meter, and you just touch the other lead with your hand, grab it with your thumb.
Yeah. And that gives you 12 volts AC.
But when you're not grabbing it with your thumb, it goes back to zero.
Well, yeah, it's got to have a ground point. You can touch that.
So it's grounding. So it's grounding to you?
Yeah. Yeah. You're providing the ground for it.
Okay.
Or so you could clip it onto the table.
What happens when you hook it to an actual ground, like a ground rod, a real ground?
You still get 12 volts AC.
Same deal. Okay. Yep. All right. I just had to get that all clear.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, and when you're tuning your circuits, as wire is drawn and they stretch it out, it's never the same diameter, actually. It's just
right,
an
it's
average.
Yeah.
As thin spots and thick spots.
Right.
So to get the exact resistance of wire, you weigh it. Well,
okay.
Most folks don't take into consideration, as that wire is being drawn, that gives it a specific polarity. Okay?
Okay.
So when you wrap your coils, one circuit is clockwise, the circuit attached to it next to it is counterclockwise or anticlockwise.
Okay.
Therefore, when you pull your wire off the coil, your spool, that's got a certain polarity to it. That goes on your clockwise coil circuit. The next section that you pull off, you have to turn end for end to wrap the counterclockwise.
Uh-huh.
So that the polarity of the wire remains constant in both positive and negative direction.
So you got balance.
You got balance. You got harmony.
Okay. That makes sense.
So what we do, we pull off one length of wire, put a piece of tape on both sides of it, and cut it in the middle. And that way the black end is always the beginning.
Okay. So like on a 100-foot spool that I've got, I pull the whole thing off or
well, you're going to take a piece of string to start with and wind one wrap of one coil.
Okay.
Of one circuit.
One circuit.
And that's going to give you the length of wire that you have to go around that coil. And then you're going to add a little bit to it so that you've got connection points at both ends. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I can just cut off. I can cut them to length and just arrange them as I cut them.
Yeah.
Tape one end.
Yeah. Just identify the start.
Identify the positive end. We'll call the lead coming out of the spool the positive end and mark that. I get it.
Okay.
And so one wrap around an 8-inch coil is probably what, just a couple of feet or not even that?
I don't remember on that. It's been so long ago. It's not very far.
Yeah.
We did that in a 36-foot room, so It's not anywhere near that much.
Okay.
It took 100 feet to wrap it.
Total.
Yeah, total, which is that's 0.46 ohms of wire per circuit.
0.46 ohms.
Per circuit. So what that means is that 1 volt through 1 ohm of wire yields 1 amp. That means that if you put 1 volt through 1 circuit, you should get 0.46 amps.
Okay. But you get 10.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is UL1007 solid wire rated.
Oh, underwriter laboratory.
UL1007.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
It just means that it won't shock you if it doesn't go over voltage.
The wire conforms to UL and mil-spec specifications.
Ooh-wee, that means that it's average size.
Excellent uniformity. Anyways, continue. So that's setting up the ground for your testing facilities.
Yeah.
Was there anything else for that?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch more to that.
Okay. Oh, continue on there.
You need clean rubber mats to stand on.
Right. Okay.
And you need to, I'm sure all the electronic guys know, ground yourself to your work surface.
Right.
You want to maintain your potential as the same potential as the equipment you're working on.
Right. That way you're never a potential.
Yeah, there's never a difference and you won't get shocked.
Right.
It means it's
yeah, I'm used to working with a lanyard doing computer work.
Yeah. Yeah, same idea. You want to be the same potential as what you're working on.
Right.
And all the electronics guys know that already.
Yeah.
You don't want your ground rod system to be the same as your lightning rod system.
Right.
So, let's see what else. When you're harmonically balancing your systems and the different lengths of wire that you use to connect the different components on your boards are going to change the frequency. So you've got to take that into consideration.
Okay. So that means you've got your leads coming off your coil and you're going to run it like on the 18-inch coils, what you're talking about, the ones... You're yeah. running into a modulator that gives you your frequency, your 54 hertz.
Right.
And so the leads coming to that, say the positives on one side of the board and the negatives on the long, other end of the board, and it's farther away, but you want to make that shorter lead longer anyway so that they both match so you maintain balance.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yeah, you got to have the same resistance all the way through.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Where do we go from here?
I think
that covered that pretty much.
Yeah.
I am
just about to about have all my questions answered. I think I'm just about there on how to do it.
Okay. Let's
maybe explain the 147.285.
Yeah, let's go into how to wrap it.
Yeah.
Magnetic fields cannot cross themselves at anything other than 180 degrees or 90 degrees.
Right.
If they cross anything other than that, then that's going to create an eddy current, which simply means it's going to heat up in that spot and cost you money to operate. It draws more amperage to do the same job. Okay, so these coils eliminate the eddy currents. So,
right, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point. Mark the perimeter of your coil, 0 back to 360 degrees. Mark every compass point on your coil on the outside equator.
Okay. Is there an easy way to do that?
No.
Okay. I have a good idea how to do it. Well, you're mainly getting to the 10 points, right? The 1, 10, 20,
yeah,
every what, 10 degrees?
Yeah, every
That's
every
what 10, you're really looking for, right?
Yeah, you're looking for every 10 degrees.
So I can print out a compass rose on a piece of paper and lay it over my coil and just mark 0, 10, 20, 30, 40.
Maybe I did ours with a spanner. You find out what each dimension needs to be for 10 degrees on that coil.
Yeah.
And put
and
your
you just
spanner.
Jump from point to point. Yeah.
Yeah. That way, I tried it just 1,000 times without using a spanner, just using a compass. And the width of the width of the pencil line screwed everything up every single time. Huh. So then I went to the spanner and everything worked out. So
I'm not sure. Well, anyway, the width of the pencil line.
Yeah.
So what exactly did you?
As it adds up, 36 widths of a pencil line is a long way off.
But okay. You know what a compass rose is, right?
A compass rose? You're talking about what you can make with a compass. Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm talking about like on a, it's a sailing term. It's. Yeah. You ever seen a navigation chart for sailing?
Oh, okay. That okay. Yeah, I know what that is.
Okay, a compass rose is the compass compass indicator on there showing you where north is and all the degrees of the compass. Well, you can print one of those out on a piece of paper, and you can size it up, and I can size it up to where it's just a little bit over 8 inches, so I can set my donut right on top of it, and I can go around it, and make the marks.
I was thinking a mechanical compass with a point on one end and a pencil on the other that you draw a circle with.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
No. That compass rose is just a...
Yeah. I understand.
A depiction of the compass degrees, all the degrees.
Yeah.
And so you can just go off of that. Anyways. So.
So mark your degrees out.
Right.
And number every 10 degrees, 1, 2, 3, all the way around. And then lower those down to 1 through 9. If it's 12, that's 1 plus 2 is a number 3.
Okay. Right.
So you know how to do that. That's vortex math.
Right.
Or numerology, whatever.
Yeah.
So once you've got that done, then your pattern is 1. Start at your first 1. Go to 4, which is from the outside equator at 1. Go inside the donut and around the back side of the donut to 4, come over the top at 4, go inside the donut and around outside the donut back to 7, go inside the donut and back to the outside.
Okay, so that's
going to
be, okay.
That gives you a triple Mobius with one wire. And you're going to do that 9 times around.
Okay, that's just what it comes out to is 9 times.
Yeah, and that's
you're going to keep going 147 147 147 until you get all the way around back to where you started.
Yeah, 9 times.
Okay, and it takes 9 times of doing that to get back to the beginning.
Well, no, you. That's when you 147 back to 1. That's 1 winding on a 9 winding circuit.
I'm running on a 9 winding circuit.
Yeah, that's and your wire is still really long. your wire is still really long, and you keep doing that 9 times around until you use up all your wire.
Okay. I guess I'm still confused.
Okay, you've got one wire that's 9 feet long, and okay. It takes 1 foot to get around the coil. You begin, and when you get 1 foot around it, that's 1 winding of a 9 winding circuit. When you get around it 9 times, then you're done.
Okay.
All with that same 1 piece of wire.
Okay.
So. Okay, that gives you 1 circuit.
Okay.
Circuit number 2 that begins at 20 degrees, circuit number 2 is wrapped from the other end. It goes counterclockwise. That goes, and that's where your wire has to be turned over end for end. This goes from 2 to 8 to 4, or wait a minute, 2-8 to 5, sorry, and then back to 2 the same way. Over
9
the
times.
Top, through the hole, 9 times. Over the top, through the hole, around the back, over the top, through the hole, around the back, over the top.
Now, when you say counterclockwise, does that mean, okay, so you start, or, okay, let's say we're starting.
And started, instead of going from 2 to 5 to 8, you go from 2 to 8 to 5.
Right, but, okay, so you start on the outside equator, you go in through the thing. Okay, so I'm visioning it going up to the left. Okay, so I'm looking straight down at the donut at the bottom. I start my number 1 right there. I go up and over, in, out to 4, and up and over to 7, and do that 9 times.
Right.
And then, okay, on my second one, I start at 2. Do I go to the right or to the left, or is it just the transitioning
two,
of the wire that you're calling counter?
It's 2 to 8 to 5, and you're still going to the left with it, but this is a counterclockwise according to the polarity of your wire.
So and it's the wire that's counterclockwise. So you're just, all that means is you're flipping the wire over. When you say counterclockwise, you're using the other end of the wire that you already marked.
Yeah. Circuit 1 will actually be wrapped clockwise, and circuit 2 will actually be wrapped counterclockwise. At circuit 2, you flip the coil over.
Okay.
Circuit 1, you have one side is on top. For circuit 2, you flip the coil over and go from the... from what would be the underside when you had the 1 on top, this now 2 goes over the top when it's flipped over. That gives you a counterclockwise rotation on the wire.
Okay, so the flipping over is the missing element that I didn't have.
Yeah, I left that out. it's been a long time since I've wired these things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of a critical piece of the puzzle, though.
that's really important.
Someone adding up, because if you didn't flip it over and you went to the left, you'd be doing the same thing, only the wire would be flipped.
Yeah.
But if you flip it over, now you flip it over left to right or top to bottom?
Top to bottom.
Okay, so you flipped it over top. So you're actually starting on the other side of the donut?
No, you're starting right next to the 10 degrees. You're starting at 20 degrees, but you're going the other direction.
Well, if you flip it top to bottom and then... Well, yeah, you still start at 20 degrees. Okay, I see. Either way, it doesn't matter.
That's why a CNC machine to make these silly things is going to be way expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, they do have metallic 3D printers.
Mm-hmm.
3D printers that print metal, but it needs to be a dual extruder. It needs to print metal and plastic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they do have that. I'm pretty sure, but boy, yeah, you're talking money there. Oh, I did see something interesting I wanted to tell you about when I was looking at the filaments. They have a carbon fiber filament.
Yeah, that's going to be real interesting to play with. And they can now extrude graphene as well.
Oh, neat.
So that's going to be even more fun.
That's a semiconductor.
Yeah, you bet it is. Yeah, with crystalline graphene, we can do lots of things.
Interesting.
And you know, graphene is just crystallized wood, right?
No, I didn't know that.
If you have two chunks of graphene and tap them together, it sounds like you're tapping glass together. All you've done is removed everything that is not crystalline out of the wood.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. And hemp fiber, being long and single-strand fibers, makes the best graphene. And you don't break that. You don't crush that up into powder. You use that as it is.
Imagine that.
Yep. And it's more conductive when you don't crush it into powder.
Huh.
Just a little thing for the beginners. You can make paint out of it with the powder, and that'll work real well. But the powder itself is really hard to carry a charge.
Right, right. Well, that's because they're all separate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Particles are, it doesn't look like it, but there's a giant space in between them.
Absolutely. Yeah, and if you want to gather some of that up that you spilt on the floor, just blow up a balloon and rub it in your hair and run it over the floor. It'll pick up every bit of it.
Right. I love science.
It's fun.
It is. But we are halfway through the show. It's and first hour is up.
Wow.
Flash, you got any questions?
Hey, I was muted.
I put him to sleep.
No, I was muted for your conversational approval.
I appreciate that.
Well, because I was burning my pipe on the other side and chatting in the text room.
I know, and now I want to burn mine a little bit,
but,
so you take over here.
Yeah, but Larry, you know, don't... See, when I don't understand something, I don't take it as a personal thing. I've never had a deep interest in what you guys do. But I see what the results could be because I'm kind of artist kind of minded. So this is just, it's like an art project I'm looking on. And you're going to guide Rob through the process to create what you discovered. I think that's pretty interesting. You know,
awesome, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, in a dork, you know, the dork in me is all over this. I just don't understand all the details and the algebra, but I understand the principles behind what you talk about. So I'm not left in the dirt completely, just a little bit.
Well, when you made a proper coil, it is a work of art.
Yeah, it's a very meticulous process.
Yeah, now, we've got...
And like we just discovered, one little detail makes all the difference. If you got to flip the thing over before you do the other circuit.
And Rob, we've got Freedom's Network over there. So maybe one of you two guys should open up a group for people that do listen to you to go to visually see shit. Maybe make a document of what you're doing, process something. Give the brainiacs something to play
well,
with.
Well, that's going to be really up to Larry if he wants to do that.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Do that. Show pictures of your progress.
Okay.
Now, you see why I like to butt in and say the unsayable, Robert? Because you're usually against what I come out and say, and Larry's usually for it. Because you're logic and reason, and Larry just doesn't seem to give a shit.
I don't presume to be, you know, this is Larry's thing. And
yeah, but I'm a pushy Jew, and I'm going to come on here and have ideas.
And you know what? Yeah. Every now and again, they're good ideas.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know, I'm just not one to presume to do that, you know?
No, you're making the fucking coil sport. There's the step I can't take. I don't have that deep rooted.
I think I've got a good idea of how it works.
Right. Well, I'd sure like you to take pictures of the process, and
I should get a picture of us still printing.
And open up a page on that Freedom's Network site, so that we can, you know, if we want to go
I'm
look, we can see it.
I have
RLO. Mm-hmm. You know, for us little people that don't do all the big sites, because I don't like doing the big sites. They make my head hurt.
Yeah, well, I'm good, and I'm doing good to do the little sites. I'm not big on all that stuff myself.
Well, Larry, it was obvious to me as you were explaining certain bits and bobs to Rob that when you explained it to him, just in words, he would get a visual and see what you were saying. So, and this is just listening to you guys. So, I'm not even, if I was in the same room, it would be a whole lot better. But not much different. Just a little. Because seeing is believing and hearing stuff, wow.
Yeah, it does make it harder to actually have to try to describe something just in words without your hands. Because, I mean, just having your hands here, you can sit here and you can make an imaginary, you know, hold your hands up in a donut shape and say, okay, you start from here and go there, and then this is how you do it, and around here, and okay, all right. That would have, you know, it would have taken 20 minutes off the conversation just to have that visual aid. But having to do it, you know, long distance, just over through words is makes things harder. So yeah, having some diagrams and pictures and with little arrows and descriptions, and yeah, that would make things a lot easier. And I assume that's what's being put into the instruction manual, right, Larry?
Oh yeah. Yeah. We haven't even gotten past the safety features on the instruction manual yet.
Yeah.
We've set up the test facilities, and there's two guys with sheds that they're powering up with the equipment, so they're not even attached to the main grid.
Right.
We've got some really smart people that are doing this stuff. I don't have the facilities or the money for them, and these guys do.
Right.
We've got one electronics guy that has his own electronics company that makes new circuit boards, and he's just going nuts with it. And it all works down to one $2.50 board to handle the modulation is the only thing that's going to go wrong with this within at least 100 years. And if we can beef those things up, then maybe it won't ever go wrong.
Yeah, speaking of beefing up, that reminds me of a question I have.
Uh-oh.
Two questions, actually. One, first of all, marine application. I don't know how much you know about marine grade things, like marine grade electronics. They're built a certain way, and they have certain things in them. How will this hold up in a saltwater environment type question?
Depends on what the Faraday cage is made out of, but it should not affect it. It would only affect the circuitry on the circuit board. Uh-huh. And like you say, marine grade and military grade, that might make it where this will never go down.
Right. And then the second question is movement. The Hallback array on the 18-inch coil, Is it mounted to something solidly, or is it just set in there? Or?
It's just set in there.
Okay, so if you're like on a sailboat, that's not going to work. It would have to be mounted.
The Hallback array is fitted into a cone. The magnets are fitted into a cone that goes right into the vortex.
Okay. So it's held in place.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll give you your 12 volts AC.
So knocking around in 8 foot seas is not going to knock it out.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
And that particular arrangement is only designed for powering the other coils.
And the other coils are just don't have the Hallback array in them?
No, the other coils are simply induced.
Just straightened coils that run off of the...
Yeah, you put that 12 volts AC into one coil with a magnet, a ball magnet in it, and that ball magnet spins and induces into however many other coils you want, depending on there's way to do that and induce as many coils as you want. Just like setting up a Tesla tower with three pancake coils, but you don't use pancake coils anymore in all the circuitry. You simply use our coils.
I have a question for the notes, Rob.
Okay.
What is the inch size of the coil you're working on? Is it
8 inch? Eight total.
Okay. 8 inch. Thank you.
That's what we're calling an 8 inch coil, and I believe he says 6 circuit coil.
Yeah, it's a 6 circuit coil. That's a 2-3-8 relationship, a ratio.
Yeah, it's a 2 inch donut hole, a 3 inch thick donut. For a total of 8 inches.
Well, I'll get with you specifically to work on that line in the text after the show.
Okay.
But I've got notes going on, so you know we have some record of what we talked about here.
Right, right.
But I just kept them real loose, so if you want to add to it, you can get more specific on when we're done before I send them off to Greenland.
Cool, cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing I like you guys to always mention, too, is this is definitely not for beginners. This is like, you know, it's not recommended that you go attack your shit without knowing what you're doing. You got to know something.
Yeah.
People are bored right now and they're in lockdown.
Well, I think it's pretty safe. So, the people that don't understand it probably wouldn't be able to wrap it right to begin with. So.
Well, I wouldn't want to encourage anybody to cause themselves more harm than good trying to be smart because they...
Well, I think that's why Larry is exercising an abundance of caution in getting the safety features and manual part of it done before he releases it out there because...
Yeah,
Jewish. From what he said already, this thing could very easily be turned into a weapon as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of. That's why we don't have a patent on it because I've already had the visit.
Yeah.
It will be classified.
Boy, just about anything could be turned into a weapon.
Well, I would be willing to bet that they already have it, and that's why your patent's denied because it's already patented. They're just not going to tell you that.
Yeah, think about it. You got a real Iron Man suit now that's powered by an 8-inch coil.
Yeah.
Wow. And that in future will get smaller.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody will figure out.
Oh, yeah. Somebody will figure out how to force multiply it.
Well, all these coils, now that you can print on a molecular level in metal, all these coils can replace the coils and every bit of electronic equipment with something that's cooler, no iron core, lighter weight, less material to produce the same amount of amperage.
Right.
So,
yeah, it's a revolution in electronics that they've probably had for a long time. We're not allowed to have because of the potential uses for it.
For your safety.
Well, it's for their safety.
No, it's well.
They don't want anybody else having what they got.
There sure is a lot of hoopla, big talkers about changing shit that never do nothing when they have an opportunity. telling you.
Well, yeah. if this gets open sourced, if we can get it out to the general public,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a game changer. And we'll sell kits for the people that don't want to wind their own coils.
Yeah.
We've got a 3D printed model now that has got a ridge on it where you need to start your wire.
Wow.
You can't mess up.
Idiot proof for people like me. That's cool.
I know, but you wouldn't give me that.
I call it red.
Poor Rob. You have to notch it yourself. Get your Dremel gun out, Rob.
And it's just got a little extra layer of material where the wire needs to be, and you start next to that, and you can't mess up.
Well, how long do you expect it to take Rob to wrap it properly to get the finished product?
A month.
Hmm.
If he's dedicated.
Ooh. You hear that, Rob?
Yeah, so talk to me in about 6 months then.
it probably not that long. It'll take you about 8 hours to wrap a circuit for your first one, and then maybe you can do it in six.
Yeah, once you get the first one down and right, and then you have a guide.
Yeah.
So how many coils did you make so that if something should, get broken for perhaps, you wouldn't be stuck?
Is that before or after we got it right?
No, I just meant he had to print the basic component to wrap, right?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Yeah. Well, you're the one making it. Larry.
I haven't even finished printing the first one yet.
But right, that's what I mean. See, I'm Jewish. I would make six of them. if you can have
one. I can
only
do one at a time. So.
Yeah, but you got to think like a Jew, man. I'm telling you. If you can have one, you need six.
Well, this isn't even the right material. This is the PLA, which I don't know if it's going to handle the heat, but.
No, I'm kidding, Ron. I knew this. Was
I know,
gonna...
but I've got some ABS plastic already ordered, so yeah, I do plan on making more. I'll just stop at one.
Yeah.
Now, wait till you find out if your form is going to work for you.
Yeah.
I want to build one and
make sure I've got a working unit. I'm not going to go.
How precise?
Before I know.
But how precise do these things get as far as measurement goes?
On the 3D printer?
Mm-hmm. On what you're creating to wrap wire around. What, I mean, is this thing like just perfect or what?
What's your tolerance on your printer?
Oh, it's printing it. It's using a 0.2 millimeter layer thickness. So 0.2 resolution. 0.2 millimeter resolution. It's coming out pretty smooth.
So this is some really technical stuff.
It's coming out fairly smooth. I mean, it's not going to be, there's no bumps or anything in it. It's smooth. Smooth enough for wrapping wire around.
First one I made was out of plaster cast.
Yeah, you describe, it's going to be better than that. There won't be no sanding or anything to be done. No, it's coming out pretty much perfectly round and smooth.
Yep. We started out caveman style.
Yeah. That would be a real pain. That's the whole reason I spent the money on a 3D printer, because I didn't want to do that.
Yep, it was a summer in the backyard throwing plaster.
Wow. And see, that's what, people will never know all of the time and effort and hours of thought and trial and error and stuff that you put into this.
Well, I find it more interesting when I do something myself.
Yeah.
If I'm interested in it. Then hearing about other people doing it. And then there's times like this where I'm way more interested in the finished result than I am in the process to get to it.
And right. My two partners telling me that I'm crazy all the way around.
Oh, yeah?
Why?
Because those don't work. You can't do it like that. Nobody does it like that. It won't work.
Oh, you're talking about before you got one that worked.
Yeah.
Well, that's, yeah, that's
I've
what
got
we
two
do.
Partners that were very skeptical.
But that's what we do. We bring doubt to your life so you can have to fucking explain it to us. Some people,
well,
I believe this.
I'm quite used to people telling me my way of thinking is wrong.
Yeah, but they're telling you how they see you. So who cares what they see? It's not their business how you see anything.
It's none of my business what they see.
Nah, mine either. But
I don't care.
We're doing a talk. We do talk shows on the like the Dork Table, and this is a different thing. I was hoping that we'd get what we're getting here. A little instruction and somebody that has the understanding of the instruction. And then me, I don't really get all of it, but I get some of it. So
yeah.
I feel kind of good. I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm learning a little bit more as I go.
You know, the fun part is, for me, is all of the applications that this can be used for.
Everything.
There's so much, and I'm sure there's stuff we haven't even touched on yet that would totally change the human dynamic.
Limitless energy technologies.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question because I think the vibration and the frequency concept does get very doesn't get a lot of attention. I couldn't find a way to say that out. I wasn't planning on it, but it just came to mind. And I know that you two both know a lot about that compared to me. So I thought, hey, let's throw vibration and frequency at you two and see what you can come up with.
Well, okay. The 12 circuit coil is a quarter wave antenna. Ooh, how about that?
Now tell them what a quarter wave antenna is.
Okay, a quarter wave antenna looks like a T, but it's made out of one piece of wire.
Okay.
The wave hits it, and a quarter of the distance on one of the sides of the T is the quarter of a wave, of the wavelength of whatever frequency that you're looking for. That frequency hits that one arm of the T and is transmitted as power down through to the point of that T, the bottom point. It also is collected on the other wing of the T and transmitted down to that point. So as the sign goes positive and negative, you're getting a charge from each direction down into that point on that quarter wave antenna. That's the way your antenna on your CB radios work. Whatever the wavelength that they want, your antenna is either that length or has a coil of wire in it somewhere to get it to that length. And these 12 circuit panel or coils are simply quarter wave antennas, and you're able to take capacitors out of systems because of it. You're able to take diodes out of systems because of it. You're able to take brain fart.
Transistors?
No, it's the diodes. It's the four diodes that go around in a circle to keep the power going from coming back.
Capacitors?
No, you've already taken the capacitors out with it.
Rectifiers?
Rectifiers, bridge rectifiers. Thank you. You're able to take the bridge rectifiers out of it using 9 of the circuits will replace 1 bridge rectifier. Okay. And that's using the coil. And that means that these huge spikes that your electronic equipment is putting back into the line that's blowing your circuits, you can't blow the, well, you can, but it'd take millions more volts than what you're going to be getting. 112 volt supply with a bad system that's not balanced will give you a 3,000 volt return spike.
Damn.
And that burns coils up.
Yeah.
But it won't burn these up.
It'll just sit there and eat them up.
Yeah. It'll sit there and convert that charge into magnetic energy.
So you'd have a big burst coming out of your Gorgon's eye.
Yeah.
So instead of waste, you've got reuse.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm figuring this out.
Rather than dump it.
Hey, man, I'm going to make myself a diploma. Hang it on the wall.
You think you're a Jew. I'm so cheap, I squeak.
Well, now we've been locked down for our own damn good, babe. But you know what they got open in Freddytown already? Jewelry stores. Because, you know, that's an essential business.
That's an essential thing.
Must
especially
have.
After having husbands and wives locked up for weeks.
No.
Without your bling, you ain't no thing.
I'm looking at my wife across the room over there at the couch, and she still hasn't thrown anything at me.
Yeah, but yeah, does she always swing the frying pan like that?
You know, she was home 2 weeks before the shutdown. She'd already worked out a deal with her business to stop going down to the office so much to waste time and get stuff done by doing it at home. So she's been locked out.
She was already transitioning into work at home.
Yeah, she was wanting it. So, what a problem. You know? Yeah.
Damn.
Well, now they've overdone it a little bit.
Yeah.
But this will pass. We're in a really small fucking country here. And these people will dance around the UN and the EU for a couple of weeks or whatever, and then things will go back to normal.
Sodium chloride, NaCl, will kill any virus. And this is a virus. Get some nasal spray.
That's why I brought it up, because you were telling me about that before the show.
Yeah.
Larry, you've got a good brain with the medical stuff, too, as well as the electrical.
And, my grandmother could heal you out of her garden.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've noticed the techno geek types are all into health and stuff. Like, remember the KeeleyNet guy? I never can remember his name.
Well, hey, Larry, before I forget this, is this possible to put us on a wavelength to behave like we're ill, where our bodies would react to a wavelength in symptoms of an illness? Is that some sci-fi?
That's what 5G is.
So I'm not crazy. That is true.
5G is a military patent for a sound-producing weapon to control crowds.
Right.
They can project a microwave at you that will make your skin feel like it's on fire, and it won't kill you. It'll just make you run away.
Yeah.
They can produce a sound that will make you fall to your knees that you can't even hear. They can produce a sound that will make you take a poo on yourself. They can... The frequency can heal you or kill you, depending on what they want.
Well,
yep.
But see, we hear these harsh things about frequency, but there's not a whole lot of simple guy knowledge, let's say. You know? It's not
there
common.
Is one hope.
Grim says the brown sound.
But, you know, frequency and vibration are not common for, like, topics of conversation. I don't think there are things that are taken too seriously in the spoken world, you know?
That's what I dealt with most of my working career.
Okay, and then you get into people that have work where it's math-related or science-related to some degree, and they're going to take you a little more seriously. But, you know, people like me that do artwork and unload trucks, I never was much about the science. I'm not denying it's there. I just don't give it the power that it's got over all these other people.
Well, when I hear about something, I don't want to hear about it from the people that tell you about it. I want to do the research.
Yeah.
You know,
Thanks for the tip. I'll check into that.
I make it a point not to buy things that are advertised on the television because I'm insulted by the commercials.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Wow. You rebel, you.
I don't think I could live without a DVR anymore so that I can fast forward through the commercials. I've found that since I've gotten a DVR, my mind is a whole lot more clear and less filled with garbage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't need a DVR because I just quit watching TV altogether.
That's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, but some of us are
strictly internet. If there's anything on TV that I need to see, I can get it on the internet.
Hey, maybe they've got me addicted through a wavelength, and I don't know it. Well, it comes to the television set.
You've heard of, I know Larry knows about it, but have you heard of the Rife machine, the Rife frequency? Royal Raymond Rife?
Me? I don't know.
Larry?
You bet.
I know. Absolutely. You have.
And the reason that he wasn't accepted was that a few people died, and I can explain that.
Steve actually knows somebody that did that because the guy was an idiot. He did it wrong. He yelled it for way too long at way too high power, and it killed him.
Yeah. There's some good things and bad things about it. When every organ in your body has a little bit different frequency, everybody's frequency is within a certain bandwidth, but everybody has their own frequency, like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
But your organs have their own frequencies as well. And if, say, you've got a liver problem, well, yeah, it's okay that you can go in and heal that liver, but you've got to find out what the rest of the things are doing as well, because healing that liver may
make the underlying cause of the liver problem. Yeah.
Yeah. So some people are so fizzle sprung, so out of harmony with nature, that if you cure one thing on them, it's going to make something else worse. Or if you cure something without curing the whole body, it's going to make the body collapse. It can't stand that instant healing. So
you need a holistic approach.
Yeah, you've got to do it a little bit at a time. You've got to use low amperage on the frequencies that you're going so that the magnetic fields that they're creating aren't harmful.
Yeah, overwhelming.
Okay, everybody in the whole dad blame world sees electricity as volts, amps, and ohms. Well, that's only 3/5 of the deal. Frequency and magnetic fields are seldom included in that.
Yeah.
And without those extra two, you don't have a picture of what it's doing. A magnetic field can hurt you at proper magnitudes. An electric field can hurt you at proper magnitudes. Walk inside of a substation when it's operational, every hair on your body will stand up.
Yeah.
You've got to understand what's happening.
Yeah.
And most folks that are playing with it only see three parts of it. Like you can separate cool fog with frequency, make hydrogen and oxygen right there out of fog.
Now, have you two guys talked about what the expected errors in the beginning should be? Things that you should probably look out for, but you'll probably do them anyway.
Mistakes that I've made.
Burn your finger on the hot glue gun.
Oh, okay.
Careless.
Burn it right off the bat, just get it over with.
Well, no, because you're going to do it 4 or 5 times every time you touch it. You know, just get used to it.
Right, right.
Danger, Will Robinson. If
you possibly can, grow quarter-inch long fingernails that you have something that doesn't feel the heat to use.
Right, right. I can do that, actually.
You're being held down at the office anyway, so go ahead, grow them.
Yeah. Well, I was already there. We retired, so I never went anywhere anyway. So,
forgetting to turn the coil over every circuit.
Oh yeah.
Getting kinks in your wire.
Okay.
Kinks are a bummer. And if you get a really tight kink in your wire, you might as well throw it away.
Toss it. I should have ordered 2 rolls, huh?
Is it something
they'd have down at the hardware store, that kind of wire?
We had to order ours. I couldn't find any magnet wire anywhere in town. But I went in asking for annealed wire, which is what they used to wrap with. And they don't even make that anymore.
Oh. So what I'm using isn't really what I'm supposed to be using then.
It'll work. You could use lamp cord and it would work. But the efficiency that you get out of it may be limited.
Yeah.
It won't be much with that tinned wire. It may be 2 amps less per volt.
Okay.
And that's going to vary depending upon where you are with the magnetic ley lines, what kind of ambient magnetic field you have in the room that you're working in. All of those things affect this.
Right.
All of those things, and they affect everybody's electronic equipment that they're trying to balance.
Right.
So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I want to build a magnet factory on the intersection of 2 ley lines.
No doubt. I'm pretty sure they've got them all wrapped up.
Probably.
I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Mostly with ancient megaliths.
Yeah, I mean, they've already been mapped out, and there's all the major ones have pyramids or some kind of stones or obelisks or something on them.
Yeah. All connected with magnetic and conductive tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just giant, giant, giant computers.
And power systems.
Yep. Power system for the whole computer, and that computer logically created whatever they did. It was all frequency. The civilization before us that vanished before the flood,
they were building spaceships.
At least.
They built a spaceship and left.
Well, 25,000 years ago or more, when the pyramids were built, that was done with frequency.
Yeah.
Those stones, either that or people were 200 feet tall in those days.
Yeah, and that was like Lincoln Logs to them.
Yeah.
And not likely. Well, we'd find a lot more giant footprints.
Do you ever notice how they underplay us? Like, being a human isn't a miracle enough. Let's put a lot of attention on outer space and aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you try to define what being alive is, and it takes you 5, maybe 6 years. It's a long story. Well, I just, sometimes when I hear the educated among us, and to me, it's prattle about things they believe, because I have yet to see any proof of any of it. Just stories to me. But, you know, it's the same as the gods of that, you know, the Scandinavian gods. Were they ever real, or are you guys just talking about stories? So, well, I get a little bit lost in the conversation because my thinking is so limited.
I find it difficult to believe that out of all those bright spots in the night sky that there's not another civilization at least as smart as we are.
We're here. I mean, come
on. At least can talk.
Yeah, I mean, we're here, so why not? It's a good thing, but when they start writing about mixing us together and shooting them and cutting them up and all, that's just crazy talk. It takes the reality there could be out of it for me. Because I'm a peace lover now. I'm not a warrior no more. Retired. Done fighting.
Yep, I've always been a peace lover. So.
Yeah, but it's better to be a warrior who raises a garden than a gardener who needs to be a warrior.
Well, that very well may be true, but I don't see a need for that defensive thinking in my physical reality. If I lived in L.A., I probably would. When I lived in the city, in the last big city I was in, I did. But how I live now, no.
Yeah.
I think it's
frequency. If you live at the end of the world, then yeah, you can do that.
But I think that your frequency and your vibration that you believe you're on is what you're on. If I wanted to be surrounded by ignorance and anger and hate, I could go out there and find it. But I don't.
But yeah.
See, I go out there just willing to take whatever happens. It's good. Not bad. So I don't know, but I think a lot of it is the vibration that I got about me. Whatever, because people all over my lifetime have made comments like innocently about, you know, remember the 60s and the 70s vibrations? It was kind of a cat clash, like a catchphrase. It didn't really mean anything, but it insinuated shit.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's where I come from. So I've got ideas about it, but then I listen to, you know, people like you and Larry talk about it. And it opens up other doorways that make sense of other things that to this point, I could take it or leave it.
Well, I think I'm a properly educated American. I hate everybody equally.
Yeah. You mean old bastard.
And they all suck.
Curmudgeons. The association. And you guys are the ones that want to figure out a way to give people free energy. So
figure it out. Go figure.
I'll take the grumpy old pricks over the nice guys. Because the nice people
at
usually...
least know with us, you know you get what you get is real, man.
Nice people usually want something.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of nice people.
And they're usually fake.
For those of you out there,
except for
that,
Circle, she's nice.
But for those of you out there in Radio Land, Ramsey had a car accident on Sunday that put her down for about, she says, maybe a month. She should be up and running, back to normal.
Damn.
Yeah. So I just she's one of my favorite RLN rappers. So I just wanted to mention that. And she's resting up from her big old ass whipping.
Yeah. Rest up and heal up, Grams.
There you go.
Yes.
I'm done.
Yep. What's she saying back there?
Mary has...
her ass on the radio. She wants a comment from the peanut gallery.
Mary has the Car-ona virus.
The Car-ona virus.
Yeah, because she got front-ended by a car. And it didn't die, and that's the good part. So
That is the good part.
Yeah. You see, being aware. There you go. What is being aware? Or is it just being on the right frequency that'll keep you you know, alive, whatever your alive is.
Being aware is confidently and calmly walking into any group, looking at all of them, and figuring out who you're going to kill first.
Larry.
All right, Larry.
He knows all the good jokes. You've been around. He's heard a lot of salesmen come talk to him over the years, right, Larry?
I'm just kidding, but that's your martial arts training.
Yeah. Well, you got any advice for the people that really don't understand that you can't get a virus the way we're being told we can get a virus? The way you get this virus, it has to be injected into your bloodstream. It's not a living virus, so there's no way for you to get it other than a direct injection into your blood.
Okay.
So we're being misled and guided and lied to, like usual. What's new?
Okay, think about it. Who do you know, or does anybody in the audience know personally somebody that has had it?
I don't. And I live, there's a lot of old people in this town, man, and they're still here.
Okay.
They're not going anywhere. I keep going, hey, where's the dad?
Okay. There's two things that's happened.
Yeah.
Long time before the coronavirus started, Bill Gates had a vaccine that went all through China. It was a free vaccine that Bill Gates gave to him. Oh, he didn't give it to him, but anyway. So that was the beginning. After that, I hope I'm not going to destroy your audience, but Q, which is military intelligence, found out that that sort of thing was going to be used as a weapon. We developed that particular virus here in the United States. A bunch of Chinese students that were over here studying took it back to Wuhan or whatever in Wuhan in China. They started developing it. But since Q knew about it, he planted into one of those students, he was able to let one of those students take back an additional part to it that would affect the people using adrenochrome as well. Adrenochrome is the scared to death little children's blood and the pineal glands and things like that from all these cannibal Satanists.
This crowd's familiar with adrenochrome.
Okay. So that's what started it over there. But 5G, which completely covers almost all of China now and started out in Wuhan, that was their first covered city, 5G frequencies energize these things and make people sick. So it's a combination of the Bill Gates, the Q, and the virus with the 5G that aggravates it.
Now, is it a frequency or is it a flu?
It's a virus, but it's energized, it's exasperated by the 5G.
So if you're already ill of something else, it's like getting hit with a brick.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you already have
asthma, above that,
breathe good, it's going to make it where your lungs shut down. If you've already got a cold, it's going to give you pneumonia.
Right.
It just makes everything worse.
Magnifies everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, okay, I understand all that, but I do not think that a 2% death rate for anything.
The regular flu kills
many more. Yeah, more people are going to commit suicide than are going to die of this damn corona.
Yeah.
But
well,
what are you going to do?
The flu killed 80,000 people in 2018.
Yeah.
So 80, what?
80,000. That's more than it's killed. That's more than this thing's killed across, globally.
Yeah.
So far.
So it ain't no deal.
But they got a lot of shit going on because they claimed it was
That's
a big
right.
deal. The That's threat.
PSYOP. It's a psychological operation. It does.
And look at where it's shut down. All the corrupt people live on the East Coast, right? New York, Washington, D.C., California, where the movie star folks that are all into that sort of thing. Where the most corrupt people are is where it supposedly hit the worst. So all they're doing is cleaning out the swamps.
You have been hearing about a lot of them getting it.
Yeah.
I thought of it. I
posted an article this morning. What is it? What 2,800 New York cops got it?
So what?
Or
it's
something
a
like
flu.
That.
I mean, are people that weak? They're all so ill already that they get the flu and die. Wow, we've come a long way in the 60 years I've been around. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, if one kid in the neighborhood got some stupid little childhood disease, they have a party and get us all sick at the same time.
Yeah.
So the parents wouldn't have to do, hey, one's kid sick this week, and then next week it's a different one. Yeah. Because we all went to the same school.
Measles, mumps, and chicken pox.
But I don't know. Things changed.
10,000 French police quarantined.
Can you believe what you read, though? Cause,
yeah.
Well, okay, Italy shut down.
I don't know.
That's the Vatican.
Yeah.
Cirque had a coworker drive back from where? A week ago from where? Do you remember you're telling me one of your coworkers was driving back from somewhere? Oh, they were in Spain and they drove back here, right? Yeah, and she was telling me that they were so surprised there was hardly anybody on the road. Nobody bothered them, and they just drove home quick from Spain. And this is, what, a week ago or something. So there's the world that we read about on the internet. We see links, and we get told all kinds of shit. And then there's this world that if you go out into it, it's different than the one you read about. It's
a whole different picture, right? Yeah.
And it's huge. It's not just here. I mean, I've been seeing links of hospitals that are empty. Now, that's a lot of work for these people to go through to look for old crap and make it sound like they're doing it today. I think it's real. I think we're seeing empty hospitals and empty streets. And the people that we know that traveled back it up.
What's really scary is how quick and easy the people rolled over and just
took it.
Swallowed it and took it.
Yeah.
Right the hell over.
And we'll continue to forever now because this is so hard to explain. It's simple.
Yeah.
But if you're educated and you watch a lot of television, seen all those alien movies and the Scamdemic movies, you're primed.
Yeah.
You're in that fear level. You wouldn't know a response from a threat.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that, but I don't know. I don't feel it.
Yeah. But all I can see is what I can see, and that's the results of things. And I see some empty shelves in the grocery store. I see people walking around
still
with masks and gloves on.
Still?
So far, that's about all I see. Restaurants are closed. That's the only thing bothering me.
Yeah,
I can't go out to my favorite places to eat.
I
went into a Subway the other day.
Really?
They said, would you please stand on the X spot on the floor so that we can keep social distancing?
Yeah.
We laughed.
Yeah. Because we're being lied to again. What's new? Oh, well.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't losing my mind completely, because if I read enough internet, watch enough internet.
Well, you lost your mind a long time ago. So.
But I would be convinced.
Doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, but if I read any more on the internet, I'll be convinced I'm walking over dead bodies on the way to the store.
But
see,
you are.
Well, I haven't got
you
that.
You just can't see them.
Right. I haven't got to that stage yet. I'm working on it. A couple of more inoculations.
Oh, man.
And I'll be seeing Jesus in the sky. And I'm a Jew.
Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Wow. What a world we're in, though, isn't it? We have all this knowledge, collective, and we're all split up in these little tiny groups where people don't get to know a whole lot.
That's a big part of the whole thing. They want us all separate and afraid of each other.
I would have never, ever, probably in a million years, found what Larry has tripped over if I hadn't been introduced to Larry. I would have, how in the hell would ever I ever found him? Wouldn't have been looking for him. So it's one of those lucky things.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of people out here in the radio land that have the intellect to understand his side of this. And I wanted to make a radio program.
Yeah, I can't be the only one.
No, no, no. No, no, no. Rob, try to be a curmudgeon all you like.
I know Grimner could do it if he was had the interest and mind to do it. Sock Puppet could definitely do it. If he had the mind to.
See, there you go.
If I can do it,
Frumpy could do it, I bet, if he wanted.
Yep.
Yeah, but Larry, understanding what you do and doing it are not the same thing.
Well,
I'm much better at following in footsteps than I am with forging my own way.
Yeah. So some old knowledge we're playing around with here, Rob. So you'd have to be really old.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I understand that. Larry's not trying to take all the credit, but
when we first started thinking about doing this, I got an old book, an old engineering book from the 1860s on how to make generators. And we wound our first coils with insulated steel wire.
Okay.
So it's step by step, and there's been a lot of bad steps and falling down.
That reminds me of a question. Let me get it in because we only got a few minutes left. Have you ever thought about or tried using silver or gold wire?
Silver and gold both are more conductive, and right. I think that we could get more amperage out of wire doing that. But the expense, this is something that's going to last your lifetime anyway, and so there's really no point in making it something that the normal people can't use.
True.
I couldn't afford a solid silver wire coil. That'd make a $1,000 piece of equipment into a $10,000 piece of equipment more.
Nah, it ain't that much.
Hey, maybe you want to talk to my people in Israel about that one.
Have your people call my people. Oh.
We could nano coat wire, and that would
be. Let me look this up.
Hey, you think the Donald would want one of his made out of gold? Hey, you could probably sell him one if you just make it out of gold. There you go. You've just got Donald Trump. If you make it out of gold, people.
Okay, so. Where's those specs?
I don't know.
Come on.
Anyway, we're coming up to the end, Rob.
I know. Well, I'm just trying to look how much this weighs.
True. And hey, that was an informative little bit of radio you guys did tonight.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
A little late. We got a few minutes yet.
Oh, I'll let you close up. Because, I was having a little computer problem again. Before the podcast. But, hey, thanks a lot, Larry, for doing your Larry Woods thing tonight with us. And you too, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's like listening to it's like a class where somebody's interacting with a teacher. And the guy listening is actually learning something from the guy talking. It's very unique. You don't see this very often. I wouldn't try this if you're not around people you trust. could get hurt and think of something.
Yeah, I can't find it right now. Anyways, okay. Go ahead and wrap the show up then.
I was stalling for you because you were looking for something.
Yeah, I can't. I'm not going to dig.
Well, then everybody out there in Radioland, that was Larry Woods and Rob Works, and they're doing the episode tonight on Dropping a Coil. And tonight's was state-of-the-art energy. I guess we'll just continue it in parts for the notes.
Yeah.
And Rob Works is building an 8-inch coil, and Larry is going to instruct him along the process. And we're going to use the radio to document it. Hopefully, we'll get some pictures in here.
And yeah, I'm going to get a picture.
And throw them up on the Freedoms Network. Get a little, you know, get some of your people to take a look at this stuff. Put it up on your, what's that thing called? Damn it. Facebook. I never use it anymore, so it's, wow, I had a brain fart there. But, yeah, anyway, thanks a lot, guys. And you got anything to close with? I'm done.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you next Thursday.
Absolutely.
All right. Over and out.